Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If triumph over adversity is a measure of sporting success, then Gary Messett is one of Irish football's great stories. Diagnosed with cerebral palsy as a child, he went on to play soccer for Ireland in three Paralympic Games, playing 118 times and scoring 91 times for the Irish cerebral palsy team. But perhaps his toughest challenge came when he captained Ireland at the 2018 European Championships, just 6 weeks after his father, Bobby, was the innocent victim of a shooting in a Bray boxing gym. Ireland finished third, their best ever performance, with Gary, the star player. Gary, thanks very much for telling us your story today. Your life has had challenges in it, obstacles put in front of you. What did football give you to help overcome them?
So basically it's been something that I've always loved doing. I like the competitiveness. I also like the fact of being part of a team. And for me, sport in general is just a way of just me releasing myself in terms of having the disability to do something that I really, really enjoy doing. And then obviously family and friends have been so supportive over that as well, which has been fantastic. Mm.
Tell us about when you were thrust from the streets of Bray into the life of an international sports person. It's an incredible story. How did it happen that you ended up as a teenager in the Irish Paralympic team for the 2004 Athens Games?
Yeah, so basically I was playing a match with Wolf Tone at the time, and we played a match, we lost 2-1. I was at fault for one of the goals, and with that came home, obviously wanted to get better. Kicking the ball down the road, and a person called Leo Green, who happened to be the Paralympic chairperson at the time, was just walking along the road. Happened to spot me with my hand raised, and just thought to himself, you know, this gentleman could have cerebral palsy. And then a couple of days later, he had a meeting with my mother and father. Just said, look, would your son like to be involved with the Paralympic Ireland football team? And my mother and father said, yep, without a doubt. So went out training that Saturday and haven't really looked back since. So so it was kind of from then to be absolutely involved with the Paralympic team was absolutely amazing.
Such a small moment of chance, and your life changed after that. And not only that, but you had the honour of carrying the flag for the Irish team at those games. I mean, how did that come about and what was that like?
It was amazing. Again, obviously, going over with the Paralympic team itself, that itself was fantastic. Done a few training sessions, everything was real professionalism and absolutely loved it. And after one of the training sessions, we were actually due to play Ukraine the first game. And couple of days previous, obviously, we were training, and the chef de mission called myself in, and I was thinking, oh, I haven't done nothing wrong already, have I? And he basically sat down along with me and the manager, Paul Casson, and he basically said, look, how would you love to carry the flag for Ireland in the opening ceremony? And for me, obviously, even just to get involved with playing football and going representing Ireland, that itself, I never thought it would happen, and absolutely amazing. It's only to look back now over the kind of career that I've had. It's just dream, what dreams are made of.
What about that moment when you're hearing the anthem for the first game of the tournament? Again, a few short weeks from kicking the ball on the street.
Yeah, 100%. Again, obviously, everything kind of happened so quickly. I was obviously asked to go over, done it, and my mother and father said, look, Gary, I don't think we're going to have the money to maybe attend and stuff like that. And I said, look, no problem at all, even just to go over and just be involved with the team itself, even if I wasn't going to get a game or whatever. I was thrown straight into the Ukraine game, played left wing, done the national anthem, and looked up to the left-hand side, and there was my mother and father. So for me, it was such a proud moment for me, my family and my friends back home, obviously everyone that had been involved, because I didn't get treated any differently, obviously from a young age, and always wanted to pursue and playing football, and then obviously if I could get involved in sort of international level, which I have. So absolutely amazing.
Every Paralympic story, or any person who's come from your background, there's always a childhood where you've had the disability and had to overcome it. You've touched on it there and how your parents treated you. What was your childhood like, and how did you cope with having cerebral palsy?
Yeah, again, it wasn't, as I said, I'm the eldest of three, so that my mother had three kids, obviously the oldest. I have a brother and a sister as well, but yeah, so even from the age where I could walk, obviously started cycling a bike. And a little story I have is I basically was cycling a bike, got a puncture in the tyre, went into my father and I said, "Dad, can you just help me out, just sort out my bike?" And he just handed me a spoon. And I looked at him and I said, what's the spoon all about? So he said, "Look, go out to the back, figure it out yourself." And I went out with a spoon. I was like, "Don't know what to do here." And then a couple of hours, obviously materialised. He then eventually came out to me, and he just said to me, "Son, you're not going to get everything handed to you in life, whether you have a disability or you don't have a disability. It's just a learning curve for you." I didn't want to do it, but I felt like it was needed right there and then, because if I start to treat you and start mollycoddling you now, later on in life, you're going to be looking for things all the time, and I want you to have your own purpose in life. And for me, that was a real, real... It's a moment that I always look back on, and I always feel myself, that's the reason why I'm here, is because I wasn't treated any differently as a kid. Even the block of friends that I have, I still have now. And again, I might have got bullied once or twice, but I mean, the friends that I did have would always stick up for me, and I just didn't get treated any differently. And for me, that's huge for a person who has a disability.
Did you take that into your football life then? So obviously, like any young kid, you discover the game, fall in love with it, love the whole idea of kicking the ball off the wall and playing with your friends. But was it important to you to play against in mainstream football and not to be seen as different and to compete and excel in mainstream football?
Yeah, it's always something that I've always had in me. My father, I think has actually grown in me. Whereby if someone told you can't do something, I would be the first person to say, you know what, I can do it. And I'd always want to do it. Whether that's football or any sort of, if someone just said you can't do something, I'd always want to do it. And for me, even growing up, I have played in games in the past where I played a match against a team out in Dublin and I'd done a warm-up. Basically, a lad seen me and he looked at his teammate and just said, "Look at this lad here with the chicken wing arm." And for me, I obviously had a teammate of mine and he said, "Gary, don't worry about it." We ended up winning the match 2-1. I set up a goal and I scored a goal. And basically the two lads that had obviously slagged me just before it came over to me after the game and said, "I'm so sorry for making that obviously remark." And I said, "Look, I'm kind of used to it in a way, but I kind of thrive on someone thinking that I'm not going to be good at something." And then by the end of it, they'll say, you know what? And it's exactly like, just do not judge this book by its cover.
And you're educating people as well, almost, in the act of doing it. Yeah. Certainly showing them the error of their ways.
100%, yeah. And it's always been the case where I just thrive on not people being negative towards you, but I always want to do the best for me as a person and then also obviously for our teammates as well. And
so when you get the call for the Paralympics, you've been playing mainstream football and your whole life has been, "I'm not going to be treated any different, I'm going to battle against it." Is it difficult then to go into a football that is essentially, you're marked as different?
Yeah, I actually, in fairness to it, yeah, as you said, yeah, it's not that I struggled with it, but I was actually blown away by the professionalism of the cerebral palsy, the Paralympics itself. In terms of the actual teams, I never basically reviewed some of the players and teams that I've played in the past. So when I went in, I just went in thinking, these have disability, I'm gonna run amok. And it wasn't the case. We got beaten in the first game fairly convincingly by the Ukrainians, who were the world champions, 7-0, I think it was. So that was a real eye-opener for me. And again, looking back then, it's very competitive in terms of cerebral palsy. There's no, "Oh, I feel sorry for him," or "feel sorry." It's just, you just do your best and that's it. It's very professional and like that. So it's the one thing that stood out for me was I didn't think it was going to be as competitive, to be honest.
And you more than held your own. As you said, those Paralympics were tough on the field for Ireland. Finished seventh out of the eight teams. But after that, you went from strength to strength. And you won player of the tournament in three European championships, represented Ireland at World Cups, captained your country, and got yourself a very nice nickname along the way.
Yeah. Well, a few people call me Messi, but again, it's
you've been modest.
Yeah, without a doubt, no. But yeah, don't get me wrong. In terms of the whole accolades with the Europeans, player of the tournaments, it was fantastic. 2006, it was actually in Belfield Bowl in UCD. Again, I was only a young chap at the time. Played against Russia, Holland. We came fourth, I think, overall. I got obviously the European Player of the Year, and then I also got the Football for All. FEI Player of the Year as well, which was absolutely amazing, mind-blowing. Had all my family, it was fantastic.
It must be, you talked about football giving you your purpose for your life, that cerebral palsy football has allowed you to live that life, international football, challenging yourself against talented players from other countries and winning those individual accolades, which must be a great honour, but a great sense of fulfilment that you might not have achieved if you hadn't had that meeting back in 2004.
Oh, 100%, yeah, and that's where they always re-emphasise that when I go in and speak to some people about it, that's where it all pretty much started for me then. I even went out to that training session just before we went away to the Paralympics, and I was given the jersey number 15. And again, absolutely amazing, went home, tried it on straight away, and I just kind of, from that moment, my father actually sat me down that evening and said, Gary, this could be the start of something really, really good for you in terms of you having a disability or whether or not. I'm going to still be so proud of you. And just pursue it and just do the best that you can do. And in anything that you do, just do your hardest, and no one can ever say or can criticise you or look down kind of going, you know what, he could have done a bit better and this and that. And I've always been that kind of headstrong where if I needed to do something, I'd do it, and I'd probably do it too much,
yeah,
if that makes sense. And I've got that from my granddad, and I've got it from my father, and my father's been a big role model in relation to that. No matter what, you have to take positives out of a bad situation. And for me, I've always kind of have, and I find with a positive outcome, I could be in a wheelchair, for instance. I was told I could be in a wheelchair. And here I am speaking to you about an international football career, which is mind-blowing when you think of it, so.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gary Messett's father, Bobby, was a fitness fanatic. On the morning of the 5th of June 2018, he was one of a group training at Bray Boxing Club under the watchful eye of Pete Taylor, boxing trainer and father of Katie. Bobby was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Bobby Messett was training at the Bray Boxing Gym on Tuesday morning when a lone gunman entered the premises and opened fire. The 50-year-old father of three was killed. Two other men, including the owner of the gym, Pete Taylor, were injured.
An innocent bystander, Bobby's death shocked the community in Bray and beyond. Over 1,000 people paid their respects at his funeral. Old friends and teammates from local football and cycling clubs joining Bobby's heartbroken family, and it was Gary who spoke for them.
My dad, Bobby, was one of the kind, and he packed more than his 50 years than a man lived to be 100. He's left a huge void in our lives that will never be filled again. Rest in peace, Dad. Until we meet again, we all love you.
In your story that you've told us so far about your childhood, Gary, and your younger years, your dad is a huge part of it and a huge inspiration. Tell us about him. What kind of fellow was he?
Yeah, he was very similar to myself in terms of if he was in any sort of sport. He played football, he'd done a bit of cycling, he'd done a bit of boxing, he'd done all kinds of sorts. And he was a man that if he wanted to do something, he'd put 110% into it. He wouldn't go in half-hearted. He'd always want to get the best out of it. And for me, I kind of always had that in me as well, that competitiveness to do the best for me. And yeah, he was a gentleman. He was obviously a big family man. He's just a great father.
You have his spirit in you, I think, from what you've told us about your own career.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, he kind of instilled it in me from a young age, as I said. He's just a great man. He was a great man.
The shocking events of that day, I mean, it's impossible for anybody to really understand and cope with it. How do you process the emotions of that? I mean, there must be all sorts of emotions and shock. How do you get through that as a family and as individuals?
Yes, as you said, it was horrible what happened that day. I obviously found out my mother had rang me because I was actually in muck at the time. It was just a shock. I obviously would go on the phone and he'd be on Instagram and he'd put a post up and I'd kind of see it. I didn't see it that morning. Didn't think anything of it. And then, just got a phone call out of my mother to say something had happened in the gym. And it was only then that it dawned on me that a few people were talking about the gym or what happened that morning. And it was obviously a shock to the system, don't get me wrong. But it's not that life has to go on, but I mean, you have to just accept. For me, it was the hardest part for me was the acceptance, the fact that he was gone. For the first couple of years, I just never accepted it. And I'd always think to myself, he's going to turn up somewhere or whatever. And it's only over probably the last year that the acceptance is that he's gone, he's not going to come back. But he's had a huge part on every single family member. For me, obviously, I've only changed jobs recently. I think he was a part of that. My mother started up her own candle business. I think he was a part of that. My sister had done a midwifery course. He's definitely been a part of that. And my brother started up his own painting business. So for me, he's looked after everyone in his own way. And I know he's looking down on all of us. It's just all you have is memories. You can either think negative, you can think positive. I kind of have a cry every now and again. And it's quite normal with my family at home. And it's good to talk. For me, for the first year, as I said, I didn't accept it. Never really spoke about it. And it just kind of, it always stood on me where I'd struggle to talk to someone about it. And it's okay to talk. Mm. And for me now, I speak a bit about it now to my family. I speak to my other half, Holly, an awful lot of the time now as well, in the evening time. So I'm getting better. Don't get me wrong, I am getting better at it. But you just have to move on. I have two young kids now that they're basically looking up to me and I have to look after them. So I can't be sitting around moping around and stuff. And I have my six-month-old Sloan. She's apple in my eye. Same with Poppy. She's going to be five now in August. And again, she jumps all over me as well and making sure I'm okay and making sure I'm having loads of fun with her and stuff. So there is going to be pros and cons, but for me, I have my own little family now and I need to look after them. And that's ultimately where I am at the moment. So, yeah, it's...
You spoke at the funeral and you spoke beautifully about the words you said were the huge void that he left in all your lives. You had football. And just 6 weeks after his death, you captained Ireland in the 2018 European Championships. And again, perform at a high level. Ireland finish in third place, best ever finish. Why do you think you were able to perform at such a high level despite everything that happened?
I thought it's only when you look back on I was him and Han, and obviously everything happened to my father, I was him and Han whether to go or not. And sat down with my family and they said, you know what, you've put so much effort into it, he will want you to do your best over there and not to be moping and to be just thinking what maybe if or, but just go out and just do it. And he'd always had said that to me, that if there was a time where he did pass, that to not just sit around and mope and just feel sorry for yourself. He would want you to get up, do your best, and ultimately do what you love, pretty much. And for a father to say that to his son, I kind of just kept that on board. And I obviously have children now as well, and I was just being very selfish in regards to wanting to go over and do that. And again, I scored a winning goal in that third and fourth playoff and had all my family there, and it was an absolutely... It's an occasion that I look back daily. I've got a picture on the wall of all the family there and the celebrations from that day. And again, I had my father, he's a big, big part of that. And yeah, it was amazing. I got onto the team of the tournament as well, which was fantastic. And then, as I said, to captain your side, and I carried out my daughter along the national anthem as well. So it was overall, it was such a negative because my father wasn't there at the time, obviously. But to have all my family there, over there that occasion was absolutely amazing. Again, then to go on to get the Football for All Player of the Year that year as well is... I couldn't get over it.
We can have a look at that trophy, and it was the second time that you won it. And you were given the award a few months before that, and a few months before your father passed. I'm going to show you the picture now of that night, and it seems to me like it encapsulates, you know, your achievement in football, and obviously your father being there and such a big role in your life, and how he guided you along the way. What kind of emotions does that picture make you feel?
Yeah, it's only when you look back on you kind of you see I've got a picture of that in the room, and I look at it every day. It's just you just see him so proud, and I think that's the one thing my father always wanted to be, was just to be a proud father, and for me to do my best in regards to anything that I was doing in life. And the same with his two kids, obviously Demi Lee and my brother Bobby. So it's just I'm just so happy. It's obviously sad to know he's gone, but he's, as I said, he's looking down, he's looking after all of us, and he's just a real father. He just looked like a real father.
He certainly did look very proud, and rightly so. As you look back on that journey now, Gary, from childhood and disability and on to an international football career and all the challenges that you've overcome, is it something you want to use now, whether it's to inspire other people with cerebral palsy or just in general?
For anyone that wants to pursue anything in life, whether it be a person with disability or a person that's not, for me, it's not even about being a star or being like a role model. I'm just basically being myself. As I said, from a young age, I wanted to play football, wanted to pursue it. Obviously, got the opportunity to represent Ireland. I've, as I said, got 118 caps. Hopefully get the gold cap now at the end of this year or maybe next.
But make sure you get that one, don't
sure,
you?
Please God, I do. But yeah, it's just, as I said, I don't see myself having a disability, even though I physically do. And I have it more of an ability. I just want to be accepted. So there's no exclusion. I'm included in everything, which I am. As I say, for any kid with cerebral palsy or any other sort of disability, to be not excluded and to be involved in everything, whereby it's even playing chess or doing boccia or doing any sort of sport or any sort of instrument. There's nothing can stop you, only yourself. And for me, that's a big thing, is that nothing can stop you, only for yourself.
To round off, Gary, if you could have gone back to that 16-year-old boy kicking the ball in the street, mad with himself for giving away a bad goal in a match, and told him what would happen in his life for the 14 or 15 years afterwards, what would he have said?
You're crazy. I don't think, again, I could have turned the other way. I could have sat at home and I could have sulked that day and it wouldn't have happened. So, again, I took something positive out of a negative situation, and it became positive, and it clearly is, as it's basically been my whole life, pretty much. And again, if I had sat in the house after losing that game and sulked the mound, I probably wouldn't be in this position right now. So it's not the little margins, but I mean, it's your whole mindset. And if you have a positive mindset and you want to pursue on something that you truly believe that you can do, no one can stop you.
It's a great message, Gary, and it's a great story, and thanks for telling it to us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.